everybody. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. You're here with Eric and my good friend Jimmy. Hey, sir.
Hey, what's going on? Greetings from North Carolina.
I watched the Falcon Heavy SpaceX rocket launch yesterday, and I immediately texted Jimmy and said, I need you on the podcast to talk about this.
Yes, I was excited to talk about it because I'm going to take the antithesis position of everybody else that thinks it was so awesome.
Okay. We have known each other virtually for a really long time. I think you're one of the original Garden Fork watchers.
Yeah, I remember when the Garden Fork had its own website, and I was on there interacting with people. But yeah, listening to it, and like I said, last time we talked, finally I get an F-150, and you quit doing videos about how to fix them.
I just really have no need for a truck. I have a minivan, and so I call that my hard top pickup truck.
Whatever gets you through the day.
It was free. And the F-150, the microcontroller, the computer controller died on it. And it was like $300 for a new one. And I'm like, okay.
My first car was an 84 Ford Escort. And I had a box full of little computer control modules. I just used to have to switch them out, I don't know, every month or two. I don't know what it was, but it's like after they got used for a while, they quit working, and then they worked again. It was weird.
That is weird. So I happened to be at my desk doing computer work, and I was on YouTube answering comments and popped up this live feed from SpaceX of the Falcon Heavy rocket, which I had been following. And I watched that thing go up in the air, and I was just blown away by it. I was like, here's one, obviously not one person, but a kind of visionary dreamer guy who is started out in the .com, internet startup world and parlayed his money into building rockets. I mean, he's not the only one, but he's kind of the Steve Jobs of that company, I think.
And yeah, he was with PayPal, right?
Yeah, he was one of the founders of PayPal, and they nailed it. And I was just kind of stunned by that. And you are also a rocket space fan as well. And I thought, wow, we've got to talk about this. So,
yeah. Well, it looks like a British rocket. It looks or a French rocket. It doesn't look American enough.
It's the Ariane. Yeah.
And everybody keeps talking about how it's the biggest rocket in the world. And, it makes me yearn for the days of the Saturn V.
It's interesting that it took off from the same pad and kind of repeating history there. And I was blown away by was the modularity of it. And Elon Musk and his team have a penchant for showmanship, let's just say, because when the two boosters returned to Earth, they had this beautiful money shot of them landing in tandem with this, the color on the cameras, the video camera was beautiful streaming, and they just nailed this tandem landing at once. And I was like, that just sold it for me right there.
Yeah, they should just, then they pulled the curtain. That's it, and everybody's mouth's wide open. It was pretty amazing. I admit it. It doesn't seem. It seems like TV more than reality.
And then he had the nerve to put his Tesla Roadster with a SpaceX a mannequin in a SpaceX spacesuit to orbit around the sun and Mars. Is that the trajectory that's going to happen with that?
Now, that's what I got the biggest problem with, is the car thing. Everybody thinks that's great. It's like a big commercial for his car company on the backs of how much carbon footprint is there to put that thing into space to sell more Teslas. I don't know. If I wanted to pollute the Earth that much to advertise something, I figured I'd have to be Elon Musk.
Well, the flip side of that is that they had to test the thing to make sure it worked, and they had to put what they usually, from what I read, they usually put cement blocks in the payload hold. And so, And cement block has a pretty good, cement is a, has a pretty heavy carbon footprint. To make cinder blocks is actually a huge impact on the carbon world.
All right, you sold me.
It is. I do, you know, the whole thing about the commercial part is, and it's kind of a, there's some chutzpah there, but there's also kind of a, I'm pretty sure he is South African descent, but he works in America, and this is kind of, despite everything that's insane about our country right now, on the left and the right, okay,
we could something we could all get around.
Yeah, and we could make this happen. I'm just in awe of it. And then I'm here trying to fix my website, and here are these other guys that do this, and I'm like, okay, I need to work on something bigger and better that has an impact on the world.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, if I just watched this YouTube video, I could fix my own sink, but gosh, it's just such a bother. You know, I'd have to get off the couch, man. The remote control's all the way over there. I guess I'm just going to watch this.
I am guilty of that. Like, I'll be watching. There's some YouTube guys out there that are making these pretty visually epic videos now. I think Peter McKinnon is the one guy. He's a photographer, videographer, and I'm just like, wow, that looks great. I want my videos to look like that. And then I'm like, oh, I have to go out and make a video.
Yeah, then you have to do it.
So get off your butt and go out and do it. So tomorrow, actually, I'm going to try and make an epic video about a snowblower.
Do you have snow to blow?
Yeah, it's snowing up at our house in the country right now. There's going to be about 4 to 6 inches, and then there's going to be ice, so that'll be a problem. But Troy Belt sent me a new snowblower to test out and make a video about, and I'm like, well, here's the test. So I'm trying to make my drone track the snowblower as I snowblow a path through my neighbor's cow pasture.
Okay. Please wear proper safety equipment. I can just see you turn around and the drone taking the top of your head off. Is this Troy Belt thing? Is it modular? Is it
no,
part of that system thing?
It's not part of the Flex system. It's a standalone snowblower. It's really nice. It has heated handles.
Oh, my wife's car, she has a new Civic, and it has heated seats.
Yes.
But I tell you, I used to work at a car lot, and they had Cadillacs with heated steering wheel, and that is better than heated seats, if you ask me.
Yeah, the minivan doesn't have that, so.
Well, you know, back to the Falcon launch thing, do you think the guy from Space Rocket History podcast, do you think he made the trip down there?
I don't know. Jimmy turned me on to this guy, but he is, I love it because he is the pureness of podcasting. There's so many of these upstart networks now that have podcasts, and they're just flooding iTunes with all these different podcasts that are of questionable quality, I think, a lot of the time. A lot of the time, I think these factual-based podcasts, the guys or women are just reading off of a bullet point Wikipedia entry, and they don't really know what they're talking about. And the Space Rocket History podcast, this guy is doing a deep dive and knows it.
And he's just a guy who loves rockets since he was a kid. You know, I just listened. He was talking about the second Apollo moon landing launch, I guess, Apollo 12. And he was there when he was a little boy watching the rocket go up. And but he was so far away, he said it looked like a pencil going up in the sky with smoke coming out of it. And his mom looked at him and said, "That's it?" But to him, it was, you know, rocked his world and changed his life.
And he, I believe he's retired now. He lives in North or South Carolina, but then
he's in North Carolina, just in the foothills. We're in the Piedmont. So he's a little further west, closer to the mountains where the hills start to become a little more hilly.
All right. And then he vacations in Maine with, I think, like an RV, a motorized RV. And he records a lot of it in the RV, which I think is great.
Yeah. Yeah. He's taking the RV to, I know he was up in Ohio and he went to I think he went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is someplace that I went as a child. I still have a ceramic mug from there. So yeah, he's living the motorhome life.
Good for him. So it's called Space Rocket History. It's not fancy, but he clearly does his research. He grabs a lot of audio that is, I think, probably available from NASA. And I'm wondering, as the commercial space industry moves on, for people to want to document that, I don't know if the audio transmissions from rocket to command and control will be available. You know, that's it's, since it's all private, I think a lot of that history may not be in the public domain.
Yeah, that's very possible. Very possible. You know, one of the neat things about his podcast is I listened to it for, I don't know, 2-3 years waiting for him to get to the Apollo moon landing party. Yep. They went over Gemini, and he talks about the Russians and their space program. But now Apollo 11 is all over, so you can binge listen to the whole Apollo 11 stuff, which is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I do. I actually I listen to it while I'm rewiring my house. Because it's very mindless. You're shoving BX cable through walls, you know? We're kind of both, clearly we both like the show. So
definitely.
There you go. But anyway, I just thought the Falcon Heavy was pretty amazing. And yeah, it looks like a European rocket, but they made it happen. And they have a live view of Starman now, going on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, people were saying it's a James Bond.
Yeah. Is one of your pups walking around in the background there?
The pup is walking around. That's Mosley. He's a 90-pound golden doodle.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't run around outside as much as he used to, and his toenails are growing.
Oh, okay.
Because he's not on the driveway. And he won't let anybody grind them down. So he sounds like a velociraptor walking around.
So next on our item list here is that you and Mrs. Custom Hollow Books has has started yoga.
Yeah, we went back in December and signed up for 10 classes apiece. And we've been twice, which tells you how much I hate it.
It's better than going none. So
yeah, it's harder than I thought. And we've just been to the beginning classes. And now that we went to the second class, the last little bit, he took us into some of the harder poses.
Yeah.
And I felt my core definitely needs some work. But I could see getting a lot of benefit from it. I thought it was more about relaxing, but it's really like a form of exercise. Yep. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, I have never gone to a formal yoga class. I've gone to so much physical therapy that I kind of feel like I know it already, but it's on the to-do list. I'm working on my meditation, which I really like, and I have a little stretch area in our basement that I do my own stretches and stuff. But yeah, I think I need someone to tell me what to do. Well, I need that in life. So,
well, that's the meditation part was the part that I really enjoyed the last time we did that. And it was just like 5 to 10 minutes of just the breathing and you know, feeling yourself in the moment and the guy talking and calming you down and trying to get all the thoughts out of your head and just think about being there at the moment, breathing in, and very relaxing. But I know I need someone to make me do it.
Yeah, we're very similar there. So,
have you ever tried Headspace?
Yeah, I have the Headspace app. I am a Headspace evangelist. I should have an affiliate link for them. I talk about it so much.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to give that a try.
Yeah. I sound like a broken record here, but the Headspace app I like because it has animations, and they're basically like, yeah, it's not going to be perfect, but at least you're doing it. So.
Well, I espouse that, especially my wife was making my birthday cake a few days ago and it wasn't turning out as pretty as she wanted. And I said, but it's done, honey. That's better than perfect.
Yeah. So let's follow. I wanted to follow up on a couple of things we talked about previously. Is that in your garden you were doing some tobacco growing? How does are you going to do that again, or how? What was the end result?
I have three nice bundles of leaves that are they're all strung and hanging outside today. It's raining. So with the moisture in the air, you can go out and grab this bundle and squeeze it like a pillow. But where if you did that yesterday, it would have all shattered.
Like glass.
It's just brittle as can be. Just the wind moving it around breaks off little pieces. But now you can go out, squeeze it. Today would be the day to go roll some cigars or to cut it up and then, put it in a bag or a container to hold the moisture in it. So it's just going through a metamorphosis out there. It wasn't properly cured the way that they do a tobacco, with heat and control and all that. I just let them sit out there and do their thing. And yeah, I'm not going to do it again. Not anytime soon. It really does take a toll on your soil. It uses up a lot of the nutrients and it takes up so much of the space.
Yeah.
From sun, it takes up all the sun.
It is a big plant.
It's very big, very big. It's beautiful though. And it continually flowers and it brings in insects that, pollinate the rest of the garden, insects that you would never see. You got those big hornworms, but didn't really have much of a problem with that this year.
The up by me in Connecticut near Bradley Airport, there are these fields of tobacco. And they are covered at a certain point in the year by netting or it looks like fabric or something.
That's probably Connecticut.
Yeah.
Connecticut shade tobacco. When they cover it up like that, that is the leaf that they put on the outside of the cigar. That's like most of the flavor.
Oh.
And it has really fine veins in it, where this tobacco I have, the veins in it like that are in a leaf. They're really, really small in the shade tobacco, and that's the tobacco you see on the outside. It's very highly prized and expensive.
Yeah, interesting, because then right next to those fields are these big, they're called drying barns. It's not like not a dairy barn. It's just this big barn, and they have big racks in it. And I think they bundle the tobacco and cure it in there.
They do. They tie it on sticks, and it hangs from the sticks, and the sticks go in racks. In the roof, all the way up and down the sides, and there's tobacco barns you'll see all around here in North Carolina. Just everywhere you go, you drive from here to the grocery store, I'm going to pass three of them. And a lot of people have them on their property, and they use them as like storage, and they're really sought after. There's businesses where people will take them up and move them onto your property, and it's expensive, but that's how they cure it with the heat. They used to build a fire outside, like right at the base, and that the heat would come up into the building, and people had to sit there and stoke the fires and keep it at a certain temperature for days on end until it was done. But now they do it with most of them with natural gas.
Wow, I learned something there, huh? That's worth a Skype call right there, sir.
Yeah, I keep saying that I'm going to make my own little curing thing to do it with, but. Then I thought maybe I'll just grow my own tobacco and take it back to the farmer that gave me the plants and say, here, bundle this up for me and cure this for me and bill me.
Yeah. Could you use it as a pipe tobacco or?
Oh, yeah. I've used it as pipe tobacco. I've made snuff out of it. The kinds you suck up into your nose. Yeah. I don't recommend it.
No.
I don't know how that ever really caught on. But I've made cigarettes and given them to my neighbor that smokes, and we talked about this before, but it makes a great bug killer.
Yes. Nicotine is a very good
very
bug killer.
You got to be careful with it, though. You don't want to spray it on something that you're going to eat, because I've read that it can be taken into the plant and into the fruit, and then you eat it, and then you get sick.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll happen. Note to self. So don't throw cigarette butts in your garden soil.
No, don't do that. And I think little kids have died just eating cigarette butts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Does not surprise me at all. Ooh. All right. So what other garden plans do you have for this year?
Right now I'm looking out at the garden and I have one, two, three beds that have onions in them. And they will be in there until early spring. And then I'm going to take all of them up and store them and eat them for the rest of the summer. And I'm working on one, two, three bins of compost that I'm turning and moving over. I'm thinking about going and getting some worms to throw in there as soon as it gets a little warmer. Just see what happens. Just throw some red wigglers in there and let them go to work. Not try to separate the castings or anything like that. Just get something in there doing work instead of me with my garden fork.
Yeah.
Which I think about you every time because I have two garden forks, one down in the garden and one up at the building. I have one whole bed of strawberries.
They're a perennial then.
They are. They've died off a lot, but I wouldn't call them a tuber, but they reach out and they root. They reach out and they root, and they're growing outside of the 4x8 bed, and they're rooted into the ground around it. And they're all surrounding a giant rosemary bush, which is almost as big as the whole thing. I'm probably going to have to clip it back. But last year, we finally got strawberries. You plant strawberries in the fall, and you get them in the spring.
Right.
So I had always planted them in the spring and never got any. And I said, these suck. So then finally, I read a little bit and then planted some in the fall. But that's the thing. They put out strawberry plants in the spring.
Yes.
So some of them overwintered, and I got strawberries last year, and I'm going to have to come up with a solution to keep the birds out of them.
Oh, yeah. And chipmunks.
I've already got, a 6-foot fence all the way around with 2 feet of rabbit fence doubled over at the bottom. So the only thing that can really get in there is chipmunks, squirrels, and birds. And I don't have the problems with the deer eating my tomatoes anymore, but now it just seems like everything's such a bother. Can't have anything nice in the garden. I'm going to be overrun this year with morning glory and some seeds that my mother gave me for another vine that looks like morning glory. And they're it's a hummingbird vine. And they have little tiny flowers. They open up like morning glories, in the morning. And it's a beautiful vine. And it was growing around one corner of the garden while I saved 10,000 seeds from the morning glories, but the hummingbird vine, it probably produces about, I'm going to say 1% as many seeds as the morning glory does. So I'm going to be busy with the hoe getting all the seeds off the ground, but I'm going to let it grow around the whole garden fence down by the road, and it'll be a privacy fence come July.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Right now, the still has all the dead is on it, and I've got all the seeds off. As soon as it dries up, maybe this weekend, I'm going to go down there with my flamethrower and burn it off of the metal fence. It's going to be a fun day.
I was speaking with a friend of mine who was a market gardener, and I was talking about how I would like to plant a whole raised bed of lettuce and have it germinate nicely and be this lush thing. And he walked me through what he does, and he prepares the soil and waters it. And then a couple days later, a bunch of weed seeds will come up, and he flamethrowers the whole garden bed, and it kills those weeds, and it kills a lot of the seeds that haven't popped open yet, and then he plants his lettuce.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that, because all my beds right now are all stripped. They're just a little bit of mulch on them, and I got them all turned so that they can – so that I could try to freeze them out a little bit.
Yeah.
And luckily we got a real hard freeze, which is going to be good. But, I like that idea. Let it grow and then torch it. That's how the forest works, isn't it?
Yeah. He actually will take brown leaves and put them over a bed and then burn them. And he says it adds carbon to the garden soil. That's interesting.
Well, I have a fire pit out back, and I incorporate ashes from there because all I burn is just woody material. I don't burn any plastic. We save the cardboard and the cereal boxes and the paper plates from in the house to use as starter.
Yep.
And I incorporate that into the beds and into the compost. I should probably do a soil test and see if I'm doing more harm than good. But I just kind of wing it and try to learn a little more every year.
The Garden Fork way.
Yes.
Mike, I was debating this year to get soil samples. I have 6 raised beds, and a couple of them are markedly different in their soil composition, even though I've been trying to amend them all. So I think they're about $20 a piece of soil test. So it'd be a little pricey, but it would be curious to see the differences in the soils and what the soil testing agency suggests as amending. I think they'd be very curious to see.
Yeah, when I used to work for Miracle-Gro and Ortho and Roundup for 10 years as a sales rep, they would say when you're testing your garden to take some soil from here and here and here and here and sort of mix it together. But in our situation where you have raised beds, you don't want that. You want to know which ones are which.
Yep.
And then you're talking about more money, a test kit for every bed.
Maybe we need a test kit sponsor for Garden Fork.
Yes, let's get on that. Now, what happened? The Amazon thing that worries me. They took all that away. That was a nice source of revenue for a while, wasn't it?
Well, I still have it. It's just
the suggestion page.
I actually have a Garden Fork shopping page on Amazon. What we can't do anymore is we can't say things like, please support Garden Fork by shopping at Amazon, because it creates an emotional tug. And Amazon's rule is we want people to come to Amazon because they want to buy a product, not because they're want to make a contribution to somebody else. So, and I don't blame them for that. So
I do. As a shareholder, I would think more sales, more sales. Who cares if it's tied to emotion? Well, it should be tied to the bottom line.
I'm kind of paraphrasing what they've said, but I'm what's called an Amazon influencer. And if you go to amazon.com/shop/gardenfork, there's a bunch of Garden Fork endorsed items there. I think that it's kind of Garden Forky stuff that I use and suggest and we make videos about. And if you start on that shopping page and buy something from my list or something else in the Amazon site, we get a finder's fee for that. So it's the same thing. It's just a little different. So I just have to be a little more careful about the wording. And, you know, it's their house, so it's their rules, you know?
I changed the link on my iPad.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yay. We have a nice email. I wanted to read the first paragraph of it. And we want to thank Dan's wife, who I don't know her name, but this is the only podcast that Dan and his wife can listen to together. So that's pretty cool.
Saying something.
It says, hello, Eric. I'm a big, big fan of Garden Fork TV, so I wanted to start by saying thank you for the countless hours of entertainment and information you have provided to me and many others over the years. Your podcast is really the only podcast of its kind that my wife enjoys listening to with me. We both just find you very down-to-earth, genuine, and real. We both love your two main sidekicks, too, Rick on the radio and your wife, the lady behind the camera. Of course, we can't forget the Labradors. So, neat, huh?
That is neat.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd be curious, are there couples that listen to Garden Fork Radio? Let me know. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. So,
my wife and I finally found another TV show to watch together.
Huh.
That's kind of rare.
Yeah.
And I'll just say it's Ray Donovan.
Oh, I've seen the previews. I've never watched it, but
yeah, the first episode is a real grabber, and there's 5 seasons, and they had a free Showtime thing on Roku. Uh-huh. So you got a week. So we started watching it, and we got through the first season, and by then, you know, the week's up, so we're paying for a month. By the time the month's up, we will have watched all Ray Donovan. And I've just finished the second season of Billions, so there's nothing left on there. But it's sort of a sticking point now because she's used to cooking or sitting on the treadmill and watching her shows, but now she can't watch it without me. So it's creating another unforeseen rift as I'm not watching them with her fast enough.
All right, well, maybe you want to bring that up with your therapist then. And I am not your therapist.
You're not? Okay, all right. I thought you was going to shoot some advice out.
Well, the camera operator and I watched The Crown together, and we're actually going to run out of episodes soon. So we decided that we would rewatch the first season and read some of the recaps that different blogs have written about it to learn more about the history. I just kind of fascinated by the monarchy, and there's actually a PBS show out there right now about Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth, and her secret agent. She had the first secret service in the world, evidently, during her reign as a monarch. So it was very interesting. So
we watched the Crown, and I think we started into the second season, and just sort of she started watching something else about Queen Elizabeth and put that on hold. She got really fascinated by it as well.
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit of an Anglophile. So I don't know. They've held it together for quite a while despite themselves. So good for them, you know?
You watch Downton Abbey?
No, that's a little too soap opera-y for me.
Yeah. We watched it in the last season. We didn't have any interest in even finishing it.
Oh, yeah, that can happen. It jumped the shark then. So
it did.
Interesting that we started out talking about rocket launches and now it's Downton Abbey. So
yeah, that's it. It's organic podcasting.
Yeah. We can't end without mentioning your company, your Custom Hollow Book Company, where you will make a book of buyer's choice. They can even send you a book and you will howl it out to hold objects or computers or laptops or iPads.
Anything.
Yeah. Custom hollowbook.com?
No, just hollowbooks.com.
Oh, okay.
Or freehollowbooks.com. That's the old website, but hollowbooks.com is the newer, flashier one. And I just had my web guy, who I've never met also. He's built two websites for me, and I've never met him. And he did the first one for me for free, and that was for freehollowbooks.com. He saw my website, and he goes, "Wow, your website really sucks. It's a great idea. I love what you do, but your website really sucks. Can I build you one for free?" And I said, "Yes." Well, he just fixed the hollowbooks.com. I broke it where you click on the main button, the big red shiny candy-like button on the main page that you want to hit that says start your custom book. It went to a 404 page because I broke it and he finally fixed it. But thanks for missing that.
I've done that. I've been to people's websites and I'm like, okay, this doesn't work for your average viewer. So, and then I don't hear back from them.
Well, I had some people email and say, you know, this isn't working. Can you tell me when the link is fixed? And I said, here's my phone number. Just call me. It's just me. And I put my phone number is actually on the website now. So when you click on that link, instead of going through a rigmarole and trying to make it work where you pick this and do that, it was too hard to put the process into something that someone could do by themselves with button clicks and searches. So I just put my phone number in there. So give me a call.
I call you.
Yeah. Same phone number. And it's weird because I had him put that in there 2 days ago, and I've started to get already a rash of strange phone calls, computerized phone calls. And they have this trick where they make the phone number that's calling you a number as similar to your own phone number as possible.
Yes.
Where it's just off by one number or two, and you think, wow, this must be a good person because they have a phone number like me. It's a really, as a psychology degree holder, I can see the beauty of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always going to be one, you know, the bad guys are going to always be one step ahead of us. So
that's true. Everybody remember the couple that listens to Garden Fork Radio together stays together.
Yeah. All right. Well, I imagine everyone has got to their office or workplace because it sounds like most people have a 25 to 35 minute drive.
So, and they're still sitting in the parking lot waiting on us to shut up.
Sorry. All right. So hollowbooks.com.
Yeah. Check it out.
And I want to hear from you also, radio@gardenfork.tv. We have more emails to read. It's just they're covered up right now by the Skype software, so I can't see them. So thank you, my friend. I love having you on. So
appreciate it. I'll talk soon.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.